AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Someone.
Going it out, Vic.
That's for you,
money.
Claire.
AM 570 LA Sports, live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app.
Gonk.
Fight on. It's Giving Tuesday. A big thank you to Dave from Orange. Listener David from Orange gave $250, and that is being matched by our friend Sean Mike and the folks over at Family First Life.
Well, there you go, Matt.
$500.
That brings us to the number of the day.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Here's my number.
Number of the day.
Today is Giving Tuesday. Our big day during this season of giving on AM 570. Through your donations, we are now up to...
Hold on.
$60,000. Our goal is $100,000 by midnight, so go to dreamcenter.org/donate. A lot of people are texting me like I'm in the car listening. Is there a number to call? No. We don't let anybody in the building anymore.
No.
So you have to go online, dreamcenter.org/donate. You just heard, like Matt said, from David Lyons, PMS listener, who donated $250 that he won at a PMS summer tour event, Brewery X. We had two there, and it was great. And AM 570 listener, Sean Mike, who will join us in the 6 o'clock hour, is matching dollar for dollar every dollar donated today. Any amount will be doubled. So a $25 donation becomes a $50 donation, and a $250 donation becomes $500. Math is hard. Donate now. Now, with our season of giving, Matt, we were able to serve. And this is just for Thanksgiving. 7,500 Thanksgiving meals. And now we turn our attention to killing hogs. Because our goal of 20,000 holiday hams.
We want to serve the ham.
Ham meal.
That's what we're looking. I want to serve you a ham meal.
Rams hams.
20K.
100 Christmas trees also. So trees are going down as well. Pigs and trees, look out! With the help from our veterans and volunteers. So please, as it is Giving Tuesday, as we were saying at the top of the hour, go to dreamcenter.org/donate now. That's dreamcenter.org/donate. Now, a big thank you to Sean Mike and David Lyons and all the rest of you wonderful people. Joining us last hour was Tom Telesco. We talked about the Chargers. We talked a little bit about Lincoln Riley and the coaching market being reset. Speaking of that, Notre Dame and Brian Kelly going to LSU, Lincoln Riley, all the conference championships. Brady Quinn will join us this hour, and David Vasse for the stove that is so hot but cold here in Los Angeles. Not so cold in Anaheim with the Angels, but in Los Angeles, that griddle is cold. I mean, they haven't even, they brought in one relief guy.
Just like that. Cold.
And it was just the one relief guy that no one even cares
Daniel about. Hudson.
Yeah. And we have a top story of the day.
Cold stove.
PMS Film Noir Corner, and we will do minor sports stories and great sports talk. All that stuff still to come. So Brady Quinn and David Vasse still to come. But right now it's time for the number of the day.
Here's my number.
Number of the day.
Number of the day is 7. So I showed up at NFL Network earlier to do power rankings today at 7 a.m. And I typically speed right through the entry point to our network studios, which is also an entry point.
Well, it's a new building, Matt. A new building. So there's, you know,
nobody there that early.
They're still figuring out the logistics there.
Nobody there that early.
Well, there's nobody in Inglewood unless there's an event.
So now I'm stuck behind 7 cars. and there's someone at the cross, at the intersection directing traffic. Try to figure out what could possibly be going on at 7 a.m. that I am stuck behind this many vehicles, and they're all packed with people. They're minivans or they're SUVs, and when I get up to the front, I decide to ask.
What do you mean packed with people? Like not like a coyote?
It's not like one
not
dude.
Not like a coyote.
One dude going to work. It's, you know, five people here, four people in this one, seven people in this SUV.
Were they like SoFi version red coats? Like the people going to clean the Coliseum, like that were cleaning in the background yesterday during the presser?
So I asked the guy up there that's directing traffic, I say, hey, what's going on? I come here every Tuesday. There's never anybody here. It's 7 a.m. Why are all these people? He said, BTS. So what do you mean BTS? I said, there's no concert tonight. BTS played last night. They played the night before, and then they're playing tomorrow, and they're playing the next day. He goes, no, today's BTS merch day. Excuse me? So I go get on the computer. I start sniffing around. This is how incredibly insane this event is.
BTS is a Korean pop band.
The biggest band in the world right now. They, on their first day of making their merchandise, their concert merchandise available, had lines that lasted 4 to 6 hours.
It's like eight guys that wear a lot of makeup is really what it is.
This is not a line to get into the show, general
merch line.
To buy merch.
Reminds me of Dodger Stadium during a World Series.
It's like 4 hours to buy, and it got so bad that they had to regulate. And they said, all right, here's the deal. You are relegated to the day that you have your concert ticket for. You cannot buy merch on any other day. If you got a ticket for December 1st, you can come on December 1st. We'll let you on the property so you can give us $100 for a t-shirt, $500 for a jacket. You got five kids in that SUV of yours, you're probably going to be out about $2,000.
Wow.
But it's so bad that today was designated merch day, where if you don't have a ticket to any of the shows, they'll allow you.
Well, that avoids like a really awkward situation like I had with Ronnie, where I took everybody to the Bruce Springsteen show, courtesy of my boy, Barry, and we were buying the merch.
Sure.
And the concessions. And then a song came on.
And if Mike Ness is going to get on stage with the boss.
And Ronnie ran away.
Dropped all the food.
And I had to carry all that stuff myself. Like, that would be avoided. We'd never have to leave our seats because we had shown up
merch day.
For merch day. It reminds me of, remember the Hello Kitty pop-up restaurant at the Spectrum in Irvine? And there'd be like a six-hour line to get like a little tiny cupcake.
This is unlike anything I have never heard of holding a concert, holding a merch day. You're not coming to the show, but we will open our merchandise tent for you to buy concert gear.
It makes sense, though.
Yeah, billions. No, maybe not billions. Tens of millions of dollars in merch being sold over these 4 days in Los Angeles. And it was so popular that today at 7, and I don't think it opened till noon. So at 7 a.m.
People are listening right now because we are, that's our demographic.
Totally.
Is kids that are
K-pop show of record.
Kids that love K-pop and crossover pop kids that are just now interested in K-pop.
People may be listening on the iHeartRadio app right now that have been standing in line for hours.
See, I talk a lot of K-pop for the birthday of the day kind of thing.
Sure.
But I don't really, I'm not like people, some people mistake the fact that they think that I'm a K-pop fan. And they'll be like, have you heard the latest from Kimchi Nation? And I'm like, no.
Monsta X.
Yeah, no, I haven't.
Monsta X.
You know, but if there's some cool titles, I'll try to run them by Matt.
Right.
But BTS, well, most of them very good-looking men. Almost better-looking than most women.
Kids, we're going to pull you out of school today.
In many ways.
But I need you to get up by 5:30. All right? We're going to brave the 405 traffic and rush hour. And we're going to go hang out at SoFi Stadium.
Like how bad?
About 7-8 hours.
Let me ask you a question. BTS global brand. I mean, there's these kids in Switzerland that like BTS. BTS ain't ever coming to Stockholm or, excuse me, not to Geneva. So it's got to be you could get this stuff online.
You would assume.
As well.
You would assume.
You know, it's kind of like the whole Dodger Stadium.
I'm guessing you can probably get it at the Hot Topic.
Well, don't you remember the Dodger Stadium thing, Matt?
They were like, it's available at Dodgers.com/store. You can get it there.
I've never been so disgusted by my fellow Angelinos, as I have been when the Dodgers play in the World Series and we are at Dodger Stadium and we watch people
fight, claw, behave unruly.
People that are always at Dodger Stadium that know how to wait in line for things, that, you know, the concession stands, it's all the same people behind the apparel, behind the hot dogs. It's all the same people there every night. And the season ticket holders know that. And everybody knows each other. And all of a sudden, everybody lost their minds. It was like Black Friday for zombies. And they started grabbing at stuff that they didn't even need. And people were horrified.
Yes, Cates.
Just to clarify, this is the first time they've performed together since 2019 in a concert like this for four nights at SoFi.
Yeah.
Sunday, Monday, off day Tuesday,
all right,
for merch day.
That's what we said. Today
Wednesday,
is,
Thursday,
is, right.
Concerts 3 and 4.
That's what
they
said. Need
today
a merch?
Is merch day.
I mean, this is fascinating.
The line started at 1 a.m. The average time to get to the front and get your merch was 6 hours.
There you go. Today, again, as I said, is just merch day. They are not playing tonight.
So you what if
just,
you...
Kids, we're pulling you out of school. We're going to get to SoFi at 7 a.m. They're not opening the merch tent until noon. And if we don't get to the front by 6 p.m. when they close it, you get nothing. It's not like they cap the line and say, okay, everybody from here on out,
yeah, exactly.
You're good to
That's
go.
That's what I'm going to say.
You just get stoned.
What if you show up and there's no leather-armed jacket? Now, this text says this. Man, I'm so glad I went to the Gardens Casino instead of Hollywood Park to gamble my money away today. Also, with the merch, it's exclusively only at this event merch. So that is how they get you. You were
so that's
there.
What it is. Exclusive. Right. You get the concert, but come on. Don't these people know how it works? I know it's a different time, but there are bootleg shirts everywhere in that parking lot. The night of the show, you're going to be able to get a guy with a duffel bag slung over his shoulder. Now listen, are those colors going to run after two washes? Sure. Again, you're going to maybe pay $10 instead of $100 for a BTS shirt, and you don't have to stand. You don't have to show up at SoFi at 7 a.m. for a merch tent that opens at noon that you may not even get into. Kate, you said they started lining up at 1 a.m.?
Yes, and apparently they had a merch day on Friday as well.
Well, that was SoFi. The one that took 6 hours, they said.
No, some people waited 9.5 hours in line and did not get to the merch booth until 8 after showing up at 10:30 in the morning.
9.5 hours.
It's like those people that...
Take my money. Yeah, I've waited 9.5 hours for you to take my money for a T-shirt.
How different is this from sleeping outside for four nights to the man's Chinese theater for the Star Wars? You know, Rogue One's coming out in 2 weeks, and I'm sleeping here with the dregs, with methed out Superman on Hollywood Boulevard, and I'm gonna like
everyone's got their thing. Everyone's got their thing.
How bad do you really want that merch?
That's what I'm saying. 7 a.m. There were 7 cars in front of me. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
I like old Chardet, you know, but I wouldn't wait all night for a T-shirt.
Merch day. Merch day. Merch.
The actual line was 1 mile long, snaking around the stadium.
But I'll tell you what, not one person at any of those BTS shows is going to be arms full of merch and abandoned by their friend.
That's right, dude.
Because that one song comes on where they're all in the subway or whatever. That's not going
to
happen.
Mike Ness is on stage. I've got to go.
Sorry. That's not going to happen to any of those kids.
Because there's nowhere to go.
There's no merch.
You get your merch, you walk back to your car, and I've got to believe halfway home, you're like, did we really just do that? Did we really just spend 10 hours for me to throw $1,700 on my credit card for T-shirts, jackets, sunglasses, chapstick?
I feel like anybody involved.
A neck fan.
Anybody involved. And I would have liked, you could have bought me one.
BTS neck.
You were over there. I think anybody involved is going into it with their eyes wide open. I don't think anybody going to BTS merch day and knowing what that is and knowing BTS's history here in Los Angeles, selling out Staples and whatever. I think those people went into it knowing.
We're screwed.
And they're surrounded by like-minded people. It's not like it's a bunch of Raiders fans and Cowboys fans hurling each other into the pond.
That's a lot of TikToks. That's a lot of chat snaps. A lot of that going on.
Interesting, though. Because, you know, we do wonder here in Los Angeles.
We are a nation of consumers.
Yeah, and here in Los Angeles, we are always having the argument of what will people show up for? Will they show up for UCLA College Game
Better
Day?
Better be special.
Will they show up for USC College Game Day? No. No, they won't.
They'll show up for BTS Merch Day in droves.
I guess they will.
In droves.
And that's pretty amazing. I bet you people flew in for it from Korea.
How about that?
Kate?
If you get to the front of the line, do you have the right thing to take as long as you want? Get on the phone, say, hey, honey, they're out of a small and the one you wanted in gray long sleeve.
If you want to have all your teeth ripped out.
But they had the long sleeve black one that's got the tour dates on the back, but they have it in extra small. Do you want that one?
I'm not kidding when I say they have like these laminated placards that have everything with numbers, and when you get to the front,
like Hot Topic,
you're expected to just go, I need 221s, 714s, and they just pull it, and it's a conveyor belt. Get the hell out.
You got to do it.
Can I see the number 9 first? I want to try and hold it up to myself and see if it fits.
No, you can't.
Oh. You know, the Dodgers weren't ready for that.
But you can leave.
The Dodgers could have used that system in a World Series. Now, this is a general sentiment we're getting a lot from. The sentiment here is from our listeners. And like you said, Matt, everybody's got a thing. This is on the Textoso.
The secret Textoso line.
Sold out to Chevy.
I wouldn't wait for 6 hours for a shirt, but I would camp out for a full weekend if I was able to get eyes on Kate's crooked-ass D. That's a sight I'd risk frostbite for. And then he did a little circuit step. We could sell tickets to see Kate's Puzo and make...
There's a Puzo straightener drug now that's making rounds.
Oh God, it won't. I can't stop.
It just showed
up
like a week ago. It's so great. If your penis is curved by 30 degrees or more, and now it's all we get peppered with. His case is crooked junk.
A lot of
they've
people
got a cure.
A lot of people don't know that Kate's measures his Puzo with a protractor.
It's 35 degrees today.
1999, I waited 8 hours for general admissions to Goo Goo Dolls at the Wiltern. I'm not proud now. But at that time, I'd never had a bone daddy like that in my life.
Baby's black balloon makes her fly. Hey, guys, check it out. Small venue. You're never going to be able to see the Goose in a 3,000-seater like this.
All you got to do is wait 15 years and go see him in Agoura.
It's GA. Are you S-ing me? Come on.
8 hours.
Come on.
You went to get concert tickets.
I camped out overnight for the outfield.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Overnight and the triple bill was Tiffany, Tapa, and the outfield.
Did you see Tiffany cuss out those people the other day?
I did. That was a good one. That was a good one.
Children, me, hey, you suck now. F ya! Ronnie, song of the day.
This is the song of the day.
Ta-da.
Horse Girl are a three-piece girl band from Chicago with our song of the day called Billy. And it's music from the new single, a follow-up to their recently released EP, embracing the shoegazed multi-layer sounds of My Bloody Valentine. Citing English, French pop band Stereolab is a major influence in the presentation of their music. A nice tune to spin for you in the midst of 4 full hours of the Petros and Money Show, with great sports talk taking you all the way to the UCLA Bruins Insider Show, featuring Brian Fenley and his cast of Bruin Talking Heads coming up at 7.
LeBron James is in COVID protocols. Lakers star will be sidelined for 10 days unless he returns 2 negative test results in a 24-hour span.
That's the unvax rule. That's what Linval Joseph of the Chargers went through and Joey Bosa.
Didn't he say he got vaxxed?
Thought he did, but if you're vaxxed, all you need is a negative test.
He said he got vaxxed.
Well, that ain't the case now. If they're making it mandatory 10 days, I think.
Is it or is it not true, ma'am? That you are indeed a chronic and habitual liar!
Jesus! Damn!
Brady Quinn next!
They're tweeting, they're on Facebook, Instagram. Interact with the show at am570lasports.com.
For you, our loyal listener.
Petros and Money continues now. 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 Now.
Trust and Money, AM 570 LA Sports, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. We have Bruin Insider tonight. Tomorrow, UCLA Colorado, as they kick off the Pac-12 portion of their basketball schedule, will be on our sister station, AM 1150. Here we'll have Clippers versus Kings. And remember, Thursday, we'd love to see you for our Thursday Night Football pregame at the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse in Orange, 2 to 5 p.m. going into Cowboys versus Saints. Again, that is right off the 22 or 5 freeway at the City Drive.
Joining us now to talk about movement in college football, his beloved alma mater. I mean, they let the guy pass Newt Rockne and then he leaves the same year. Lincoln Riley, the Big Ten championship that he's going to be on, the Big Noon kickoff. Best part of the Big Noon kickoff, in our opinion. And he works in the morning on Fox Sports Radio. Two pros and a cup of joe with our friend Jonas Knox and LeVar Arrington. Great Notre Dame quarterback, NFL stud, yoga master, and overall fabulous Midwestern guy. It is Brady Quinn on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline. Hello, Brady. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I appreciate that warm, lovely ethnic intro for me. I felt like I was right at home back in Dublin. Yeah. Dublin, Ireland, that is.
Yeah. Everybody knows, you know, instead of a water bottle, there was a bottle of Jameson waiting for you.
Potato juice.
Yeah, potato juice and Jameson is the Brady Quinn drink.
At birth.
Now, Brady, I don't know how much this surprised you. Swarbrick seemed to have handled it really well. 12 years at Notre Dame is like 50 years in a lot of places. But I am surprised that they let him pass Rockne and he left. What does or doesn't surprise you about Brian Kelly's exit?
I think the timing of it, only because of, and look, I understand, you know, as far as recruiting goes, which is the lifeblood of college football, you know, that early signing period has basically become the signing period, right? Like, we all used to have that first Wednesday after the Super Bowl where that was when I signed, you know, my you know, letter of intent and all that. Now all these kids, they commit, they sign early, they enroll early, everything's expedited. So, you know, it's more of the timing of it because, you know, the college football playoff rankings just came out. Notre Dame's at 6, but they don't need that much to happen in order for them to potentially vault up into the top 4 and be playing once again for a national championship. I mean, Alabama's, I think, a 6.5-point underdog, if I'm not mistaken, to Georgia. I think we'd all agree Georgia will probably beat them. And then you just need any combination of Cincinnati or Michigan losing in front of them. I'm assuming Oklahoma State wins, by the way, but they just need two losses between Michigan, Alabama, and Cincinnati. Any two of those, and it's somewhat possible. So that's the surprising thing is, you know, they could somehow find their way into the college football playoff, and their head coach is down at Baton Rouge. Like, it's just the awkwardness of that whole thing. I don't know how you fix it, but that's, I think, the most odd thing of this whole entire situation.
Is it a better job?
I mean, it depends on how you go about answering that. Like, are you motivated by money? I mean, he's getting paid more. $95 million is hard to turn down. Some people would say it's better if they can pay you that. I would say this. I mean, I don't think it brings you as much notoriety as the head coach of Notre Dame for his legacy and all that. I think, you know, being the winningest coach all time at Notre Dame, it means something. It's significant to probably a lot of people out there. Now, he was the only coach to be there as long as he was and not win a national championship. And if that was his intent in leaving, thinking that he'll have a better chance to do it at LSU, that's his own prerogative. But let's not forget, they went to a BCS national championship. They've been to the playoff 2 of 3 years and maybe even this year if they're lucky enough. But that's not so bad. And I know LSU has won in the past, but you know, you got to go against Alabama once a year in your division. You're going to have to go through what is a gauntlet in a tougher division over there. And I get it. Like, Ed Orgeron won a national championship, and people think Brian Kelly's a better coach. But his resume, at least the past 5 years, these 10 wins, have been built on a soft, weak ACC for either the conference they played in last year or the 5 teams they play a year. It's not what it used to be. USC's been down. Stanford's been down. And now they're playing MAC schools as a part of that schedule. So as much as I'm a Notre Dame homer at times, I'm willing to admit, too, the schedule ain't what it used to be. And it's been in part because of the affiliation to the ACC and some of the other scheduling matters. So, you know, we're going to find out, you know, because in 2 or 3 years, if he's not winning, that's a problem.
And it'll tell the tale at a lot of these different schools, and that's the way it is. You got to win, and you hire a guy for that much money. Now, he could take a few days of bad press. He's had them before. in Notre Dame, how will he be remembered? I mean, this is the guy with Newt Rockne's record. How long is it going to take? How long is it going to take the sting to go away, Brady? That Irish sting.
Right now, what you're seeing is a lot of stuff come out about Brian Kelly that's not too flattering. There's a picture that surfaced from the South Bend Tribune of Kelly giving the middle finger. I don't know to who.
I think it's Tommy Rees, right?
Tommy Rees.
Yeah.
Now their offensive coordinator, who at the time was quarterback and threw a red zone interception, but that came out. A story about Matt LaFleur
shoveling
and another
snow.
Assistant. Yeah, it's all starting to come out now, right? Like all the bodies are surfacing at this point. So
was he not cool?
I don't know. I think the unfortunate part is just how he chose to leave. He didn't. Right. He came in and resigned. He didn't give Jack Swarbrick a chance to counteroffer or negotiate. He just said, "I'm done here." But that honestly, if I'm being real with you guys, it had more to do with the relationship between Jack Swarbrick and Brian Kelly. A lot of people don't know this, but that relationship completely fell apart. And that's what this is ultimately about. Brian Kelly had certain demands there that he felt weren't being attended to the way they should have for a guy who's got the all-time winningest record for a head coach in Notre Dame. And there were some things that how Jack Swarbrick operated that Brian Kelly and his agent, to be fair, Trace Armstrong, wasn't a fan of. And, basically, they came down to LSU, who was desperate, right? They missed out on Lincoln Riley. Southern Cal got him, and they took a big swing, and they, basically said, here it is. We're going to sign this if you don't do something about it. And, there was that fractured relationship that ultimately came to an end.
You mentioned Lincoln Riley. You obviously know him well, Brady. You've seen a ton of his teams perform at a very high level. We said we thought maybe this is the biggest hire in Los Angeles since Phil Jackson to the Lakers. How big of a star is Lincoln Riley? How huge of a coup was this for USC?
I mean, Jesus. I mean, you guys got Sean McVay. I think he's a better coach, if we're being real with ourselves, as far as a young, brilliant mind in regards to football. I mean, the hard thing about buying into a hype like that is he took over what was built by Bob Stoops. I mean, I don't know how he's going to do out there. I assume he'll do well because it's the easiest turnaround job in the world. All you have to be able to do is recruit Southern California. You're going to win your division. There's no competition in the Pac-12 South. I mean, no disrespect to Kyle Whittingham. They'll be competitive, but USC should win hands down. And then you've got an Oregon team that's really the only threat in the North. And Mario Cristobal may not even be there anymore. So, I mean, they should be able to win the Pac-12. From there, I don't know where it goes. Because, Lincoln Riley couldn't get past the semifinal round at Oklahoma, as talented as they were. And that's ultimately, I think, what everyone was trying to battle. Notre Dame as well. Because unless you're Alabama, unless you're Clemson or Ohio State, we haven't seen anyone else win a national championship in the college football playoff era. And we seem to see more SEC teams than anyone else. So, I don't know. I mean, again, we'll see how it pans out. I think my only reservations are he didn't build what was there in Oklahoma that he took over. It wasn't like they went on to win a national championship. I don't think he did anything different than what Coach Stoops did. Yeah. And the problem is, USC is not their wide receivers and quarterbacks. It's the line. It's their defense. Now, and I think that's why important that he brought Bill Biedenbaugh, their O-line coach, and Alex Grinch, their DC. I think those are the areas that they really need to improve on at USC.
Well, we can't agree more about that, Brady, and we do talk every week on the radio, but it is interesting because the national kind of perspective on the USC hire, especially from the cathedrals of college football, is not as glowing about the hire as maybe it is here in Los Angeles. What was going through your mind when you saw your colleagues at Fox and everybody at the Coliseum yesterday throwing a party like it was 1999.
Yeah, you and I have talked about this before. Trying to recreate what was, the early 2000s of what Matt and Reggie were a part of, it's not possible. Like, I'm sorry. You're not going to be able to recreate that, in my opinion. You've got too much competition of other things there. I understand the USC alumni base is excited about it, but we're just at a different point. And college football is at a different point. As talented as Southern California is, it's still tough to compete with what's in the South right now, which is predominantly what you see going on and playing in Sundays. I was just having a conversation with an agent who's been involved with some of these, obviously players are recruiting right now, but also coaching searches. And he just, he kind of said, it's great. It sounds all good in theory, but until you're able to give her the helmet and win a national championship, it really doesn't matter. And I think that's a much longer road than people on the West Coast probably are realizing right now, considering the difference in talent with what you see in the SEC, even at times of the Big Ten, and what's at the Pac-12 right now.
So is there any way to get around that, Brady? Like, is Lincoln Riley just going to have to try to recruit kids to play O-line and D-line from the South, nationally recruit? Can he do it here in Southern California? How do you get past Alabama or Georgia or Clemson in this playoff?
Well, that's the hard thing is, now it's legal, right? It wasn't in the past, but it is now. So you have the boosters break out the checkbooks. Because it's not just you selling Southern California, that's some of it, but when you ask these kids what they want, it's to win a national championship, go play in the NFL. Well, until USC establishes that it can do that, and it's not just a beautiful place to come, you know, go to school and come play football, and then eventually go on to the NFL, until they establish the fact that they can be a national championship contender, it's not really going to matter. So, again, I think his staff will help with that because he's got a good staff that he brought with him. I think there's going to be an allure to it early on, but it's going to take a little time. Like, I think they'll be good next year. They should win the Pac-12. I don't know how they're going to stack up compared to what else is out there, especially in the SEC.
And the contention for national stuff starts with O and D line and defensive culture, like you said, Brady. Brady Quinn, our guest right now from Big Noon Kickoff and Fox Sports Radio's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. And he's kind of squirting the seltzer bottle in the face of some USC fans here.
A bit.
I hate to see it.
Hey, being honest. But he's doing okay. We're having an honest conversation is what we're having here.
But he's been up all night watching Brian Kelly videos, you know, in slow motion too. So, you know, he's been Brady through it.
You know, the reality is with Brian Kelly is they're going to have to make this decision sooner than later anyway. I mean, 60 years old. We can act like he's going to recreate what Saban did at Alabama and have more success in his 60s than, you know, he did before that in his career. But there's only one Nick Saban, and as successful as Brian Kelly has been at different levels, I just think he's been reliant on his assistants. And until he's able to bring those guys with him from Notre Dame, or maybe bring a guy like Mike Elko from Texas A&M, their defensive coordinator, who's fantastic, they could have a really hard time trying to build that thing back. I mean, talk about weak offensive line. The cupboard's bare there at LSU. They've got some other cultural things that he's going to have to change moving forward. When you had a number of players who are some of the top prospects in the draft, who decided to basically kind of opt out of the rest of the season once things went to the wayside and once Ed Orgeron was kind of out. So I don't think that's going to be as easy of a turnaround as people think for Brian Kelly either. And he's still trying to get his staff. Like, his strength coach just decided to stay at Notre Dame. Uh-huh. You know, they've offered Marcus Freeman and Tommy Rees, but, you know, Marcus Freeman can end up being a head coach if he's patient enough to not take that job at LSU. You know, if Fickell ends up going to Notre Dame and he's the hire,
is that
you better believe Marcus Freeman will be the first call.
Is it Campbell or Fickell?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I think if you look at, you know, Luke Fickell's track record, you know, he's a guy who grew up in the Midwest. He, you know, he's kind of been through that first tough stint at Ohio State where he really didn't work out, learned a lot, got his next chance and opportunity, and has, you know, built something there at Cincinnati, I think, that's been successful. And you could say, well, hey, Brian Kelly built that. But it's a little different now with Luke Fickell. Like, they're a national championship contender now, getting ready to play in the playoffs. They beat Houston this week. So, a little different, and I do think there's mutual interest there. So,
well, he can't leave for that, though, can he, Brady? Could Luke Fickell leave Cincinnati if they're the first non-Power 5 to go to the playoff and not coach that team?
No, I think Notre Dame's going to be patient. I think they're going to be respectful of the process. Jack Swarbrick, who's going to lead this search, doesn't operate that way. He's not going to try to make a fast decision. He's going to identify the guys they want to talk to and interview. They feel like with the assistants and the people they still have, you know, with their staff, that they're currently four ranked recruiting class, they can keep that intact to a degree. So I mean the kids who choose to come to Notre Dame, it's not like Oklahoma right now that's being rated. I mean, these kids come to Notre Dame because it's different than everywhere else.
Right.
You know, if you're going to Oklahoma, you're not going for the education. You're ultimately going to play football. So when Lincoln Riley leaves, you're like, all right, let's go play with Lincoln. That's who I wanted to play with anyway. At Notre Dame, you know, and Kyle Hamilton and a couple of other players have a podcast with Colin Cowherd, and they openly admitted it. They're like, hey, no offense to Coach Kelly, but I didn't come here to play for him. I came here to play for Notre Dame. So I don't know that you're going to see the same type of movement off their roster or even their recruits like you, I think, you're seeing at Oklahoma right now.
All right, Brady. So you're saying Swarbrick's not going to act like Mike Bone in his presser? Like, oh, like you're not going to see that?
No. I mean, he is as close to the vest with things and just unemotional about stuff. I mean, he does a tremendous job. Don't get me wrong. He's incredibly smart. I always enjoy my conversations with him. But he's going to be very pragmatic and methodical with how he goes about this process and determine who the next guy is. I mean, think about it. You know, they hired Brian Kelly, you know, after everything with Charlie Weiss. Brian Kelly was, you could say, was kind of a risk. You know, even as successful as he was at Cincinnati, you know, he wasn't proven necessarily at that level. And wow, he did a great job. By 2012, they're playing a national championship. But by the way, I don't know why Notre Dame fans are surprised. The way he left Notre Dame is the same way he left Cincinnati before a BCS appearance as a Group of Five
team.
That's
right.
We were on in Cincinnati in those days, Brady. Right.
That Butch Jones who took over for
Yeah,
him
Big
that
Butch
game?
Took
yeah.
over. And yeah. Tony Pike throwing the rock
That's
all over
right,
the place.
Tony Pike.
Disrespect
That's
Tony
right.
Pike and leave him all alone. All right, we love you, Brady. If Cowherd came to your house with Lincoln Riley, would you sign? Sight unseen, right? You wouldn't even have to see the campus or anything.
Did you say if Colin Cowherd came to my house with Lincoln Riley?
Yeah, yes. Hey, we're talking about that today on the air.
Well, I don't know that I'm letting Colin in. I might be like, hey, why don't you stay outside? Let me talk to Lincoln one-on-one. Why am I letting Cowherd? I'm just saying, why am I letting Colin in?
That's the same question we had, Brady. We're like, what the hell is he?
He said he was going to go recruiting with him.
Link, can I take this one? Let me close this kid for you.
He said that.
Yeah, no.
He said he was going to be the closer.
If that's the case, no.
Like
if you need Colin Cowherd to close, that's maybe a problem, right? As a head coach at USC, shouldn't you be able to do it on your own?
Well, he didn't
respond. Yeah, Colin put himself out there, and it was very awkward. Lincoln didn't say anything. He was like,
Lincoln kind of sat there the same way he did when Bone was like, "You don't even know how great this guy is. You don't even know." You know, so Lincoln just kind of wore it. But it was.
What happened to Fickell going to USC? I thought that was the whole natural fit. That's what I want to know. Is where was the pivot there?
They said Catholic, six kids, doesn't want to leave the Midwest, stay close to home.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Yeah, like, having a bunch of kids does get in the way sometimes.
You know, six of them.
He doesn't like our dirty lifestyle out here in the West.
I gotta go. I'm gonna try to make kid number four right now. So I gotta go, guys.
take out your aggression. Do you want to hear it, Brady? Here, just listen real quick.
In the next 6 hours, do you get in a car and go visit high schools?
Absolutely.
Could I go with you? I'm sorry. I'm a total dork.
How about that, Brady?
I feel uncomfortable. I was in the mood. Now I'm not. Forget the fourth kid.
Oh, that was boner death. Boner death.
Yeah.
We love you, Brady. Thanks for all the time.
Bring back the excitement from Bonarino. Bring that back.
You don't even know. Oh, you don't even know how great this guy is, Brady. All right, we'll be back with more PMS.
Thank you, Brady.
We got a DVR, top story of the day, PMS Film Noir Corner. A lot of great sports talk stuff.
Oh, we're going to snurdly the hell out of this next break.
Walked into the room. There was doo-doo in the back.
Get P and Money on your smart speaker.
Mic check.
Just say, Alexa.
Yes.
Play AM 570 LA Sports on iHeartRadio.
Brady Quinn.
Foosball.
Took us to the top of the hour, so we got to get out pretty quick. But what he said kind of made you feel like they're going to hire Luke Fickell, not Matt Campbell. If they want to be patient.
Well, and Jack Swarbrick does things the right way.
That's right. Not like both Bonarino.
Respect the kids and respect that playoff. And respect the work they put in this year. Let Luke Fickell finish the job he started.
You don't just leave.
Scott.
A place.
Wallenberg.
You just don't leave a place like Notre Dame when you have a Notre Dame degree breathing down your neck. But a place
out,
like Oklahoma.
You did Jimmy Lake, Oklahoma. Jimmy liked him good.
He did that. You should have heard what he said to Joel once about Colorado.
I mean,
like Joel Klatt was criticizing Notre Dame. He's like, let's be honest. Joel went to Colorado. And I was like, jeez. He said it on TV.
Hey, there is a sizable gap between the University of Notre Dame and CU Boulder. That's for sure. Nothing against,
don't you say that.
All the fine folks in Southern California to get their degree from Colorado. Look, college is what you make of it, okay? You graduate at the top of your class no matter where you go. You earn that degree. But if Klatt and Brady want to get in a peeing match, Brady's got that trump card. And he's going to throw it down. And you know what? Joe Klatt's going to get upset. He's going to get really upset about it. And Brady knows it.
I mean, I get the whole Lincoln's not a program builder because I made that point to Brady 3 weeks ago or something. But, and Chip Kelly parallel. But if you're bringing Alex Grinch with you and the O-line coach, then you are a program builder.
And he's a hell of a developer of talent.
He can do that. And Grinch is a guy that knows how to play defense around a play-calling coach. And this one is a lot more of a disciplined play caller in Lincoln Riley than Mike Leach, who Alec Grinch had to play defense around.
That's the truth.
In the Pac-12 before. Like, Lincoln Riley runs the ball. And for those of you that have a problem with, like, he is not a guy like Lane Kiffin, who is a good play caller by all accounts, but will be fully willing to wreck Robert Woods last year so he can try to get Marquise Lee the Heisman. You know, try to get Matt Corral the Heisman. Check the stats after the game. He learned that from Pete Carroll. And look at where it got Pete Carroll between the Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch thing. So that's a real thing. And Lincoln Riley don't play that. And Lincoln Riley ain't scared to pull a guy like he pulled Rattler and put in Caleb Williams. Like, Rattler was supposed to be, like, he had a, his own
favorite.
He had his own logo and his own whole thing. So,
all right, Snerdly.
All of that leads me to believe that Brady is salty.
Oh, he's super salty.
If we call
Adam, talking about flipping off Tommy Rees.
If we're calling,
there's only one place he didn't go. He was respectful enough not to go there.
Yeah, you're right.
But I bet he came close. I bet he thought about it.
Tough call.
You know, he went. Matt LaFleur and Robert Saleh came over to shovel the driveway.
He did the snow shoveling.
He came there. He did the flipping off Tommy Rees for throwing a pick in a game.
He didn't go what some would consider to be a bridge too far.
Exactly. No, we do that, but we're not going to do it here.
Not here. You know, if we call a salty A Adam Oslin, what about the spicy D for David Vasse?
He's coming up next. Hot stove, cold stove, the latest on player movement, the Dodgers, and maybe there won't be a lockout. He's got all that coming up next. There's no turn.